You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
That cop protected that young girl. Now, we could talk about every case and talk about, well, what about this case? What about that case? But you can't, you got to talk case by case.
Well, let me ask you a question.
All those other cases might have been wrong, but in this case, that cop made a split decision to say, you know what, I'm saving this girl's life.
Do you really think that cop cared about that girl in the pink? Because if he cared about that girl in the pink, why would you shoot four times? She was right there. She could have got hit, too. You really think he cared about that girl in the pink that much? If he cared so much, why didn't he look sad after it was over? Why did he say blue lives matter after it was over? If he was such a good cop, like you say, and he was just there to save lives, why was there no remorse?
Can move the goalpost on every time we talk about the story. We are. But now it's like, did he shoot right or shoot wrong? Okay, well, no. If he shot right, then how come he looked sad after? Well, how come after he didn't tie his shoes? Like, we can move the goalpost in every situation. But in that situation, that cop possibly saved that girl's life.
He did save her life. But once again, just because something is legally justified doesn't mean it's right. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have intervened.
You just said he saved the girl's life.
What are you talking about?
You just said he possibly saved that girl's life.
Yeah, absolutely. But once again, just because something is legally justified doesn't mean that it's right.
What? That is a very interesting conversation. We're going to give that in more detail. This is April 30th, 2021. You heard two radio hosts in New York. One of them is DJ Envy, host of the Breakfast Club. The other, also a host of the same program, Charlemagne Lagarde. Charlemagne Lagarde is saying, he's saying that this was not, I think it's actually Charlemagne the God. I think I mispronounced that. But he's the one who claims that the officer shouldn't have been doing the shooting, and yet admits he did save the girl's life. Which was the point of the officer shooting? They're talking about the April 20th shooting when the officer, Nicholas Reardon, arrived at the scene where he had been sent because they had a 911 call that there's somebody out here with a knife trying to stab and kill people. He gets there, he just sees some girls pushing each other around, and he's going up, say, hey, what's happening? And then all of a sudden he sees a knife, he pulls his pistol then and tells everybody, get down, where the 16-year-old, Makia Bryant, has pushed a victim, possible victim, up against a van who can't escape. She is now raising the knife. The officer shouted repeatedly. She either didn't hear him or was ignoring, and he opened fire. He fired four times at the body mass. Been on the force 16, 17 months, but he has military training. He saved the girl's life. Now, the key here is, this was a white officer dispatched into a black neighborhood. Everyone involved is black. The girl he shot, black. The woman, girl he saved, also black. I told you the other day the headline could read, white police officer saves the life of a black girl. No, that's not the narrative. And I can't believe that Charlemagne the God wants to push and continue to say, well, he didn't really do things right. You want to hear the rest of that conversation. It'll be coming up later in today's program. Also, Senator Tim Scott, South Carolina, Republican, you know, being called Uncle Tim the other day, up on Twitter for hours after he made the response on behalf of the Republicans to President Biden's statement about what he's going to do for the nation. And Senator Scott, you're going to hear him say later, what the Democrats, progressives, and the state-controlled media are trying to do, not going to be good for minorities. They're not going to like it. And there will be a day of reckoning still to come. Also, a raid early this morning or the other morning on Rudy Giuliani's home, seizing documents, he said, I tried to get the government for 2 years. But the agents did not want one piece of information he had, documents involving Hunter Biden. Don't want it. You're also going to hear in the next couple of hours from Edie Heiple, Center for Renewing America. We had her on the other day with some details of this. She's back with more details on a Judicial Watch information that they got from the government of the US FDA buying aborted babies and baby parts from Planned Parenthood like you go in and shop for a cut of meat. It's not going to be an easy conversation. Abortion's not an easy thing to look at nor watch, and it's a terrible thing in my opinion. It's wrong. I can find maybe a few cases where it might be acceptable, but the FDA, our own government, involved in buying parts, baby parts? We'll have that coming up. And as we're talking about what cops do right or do wrong, we've had more killed over the last 2 days. Do I hear anyone saying, say their name? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, give me boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
About 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a big bang, bang, bang on the door. And outside were seven FBI agents with a warrant for electronics. And I looked at the warrant and I said, this is extraordinary because I've offered to give these to the government and talk it over with the government for 2 years. I don't know why they have to do this. The agents seemed somewhat apologetic, I might say. They were very, very professional and very gentlemanly.
That is Rudy Giuliani appearing on Tucker Carlson last night, talking about what happened at his New York City apartment the other day. As he said, at 6 a.m., there's a loud bang at the door. What the hell's going on? And he goes there, and there are seven FBI agents standing there. The purpose of the investigation and the document they brought, the subpoena, and what they were trying to find, as described by Giuliani, and of course he's an attorney, he could quickly see, well, why are you here? What's going on? He said, I looked at the warrant. He said, this is extraordinary. You want information about Ukraine and so forth? I've been trying to give this to the government and talking to them about it for the last 2 years. Now you show up at 6 a.m. and banging on my door. But you heard him say the agents were extremely professional, gentlemanly, and even almost apologetically. So why were they sent there, you think, at this point? Let's kind of replay this briefly. Let me see. Who got elected president? Oh, Biden got elected president. That's right, not Trump. And Biden has appointed various folks to different positions, like the Attorney General Merrick Garland, who was going to be a Supreme Court justice if Obama had had his way. That didn't work out. And Merrick Garland heads up the Department of Justice. And if you follow the chain of command, it goes Department of Justice like this, several different, and one of them being the FBI. And at the very bottom of the FBI list, or near the bottom, you're going to find the agents. And I don't know where these agents are, but in New York, they're probably a little bit above the others. And somebody just said, we can prove that Rudy Giuliani violated U.S. law. What did he supposedly do? Well, they were claiming that he violated the Foreign Agent Registration Act, FARA, F-A-R-A, because he did not report activities they claim he had on behalf of Ukraine, did not report that to the Justice Department. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail, but I'm sitting here thinking, somewhere in the back of my mind, maybe it's you too, I'm thinking Ukraine, foreign agent relationship. You know, I do remember that issue was raised in the ancient law that's never really been used, the Logan Act. But both things kind of came up the general that was serving briefly with President Trump, Flynn, General Flynn. I remember where I've heard that reference again involving Ukraine and anybody from the U.S. What's his name? It's Chase? No, that's not the first name. What his first name is Bow Wow? No, it's something. Cocker Spaniel. Hunter. He's a Hunter. Hunter Biden. Man, I'm so glad. I'm glad this week is coming to an end. I don't think I'd get through much more. My mind is slipping fast. I think it's probably that second Moderna shot ahead. I'm joking. Don't anybody start filing lawsuits, and don't anybody turn away from the shots. If you're going to get it, you do what you want and should do. I only did it because I told you I made a promise to my kids. But I have to admit, ever since there, my head's kind of been kind of fuzzy. It was proven last night in a poker game. Think I see a flush out there. There's no flush. I put a lot of money in on it. Thank God the other guy thought I had a flush. All right, out of that rabbit hole. Back to Hunter Biden. Yeah, Hunter, you wanted some information reference Ukraine and all the stuff that's been unveiled by that Hunter Biden laptop, which the New York Post said it had and started publishing, and the big tech companies, Facebook, Google, shut it down, said we're not going to allow you to use our platform to publish lies and create a conspiracy theorist. Now, they had no problem, of course, when it was a Russian collusion against Trump. And that's where the Giuliani thing comes in. So again, here's Rudy Giuliani talking to these agents. He's seen the subpoena. He sees what they want. They made it very clear we're here to get some particular items. And he said they were very nice. But then, as he began to insist something, then they got upset.
The agents seemed somewhat apologetic, I might say. They were very, very professional and very gentlemanly. The only time they got perturbed is at the end of the search, when they had taken about, I'd say, 7 or 8 electronic items of mine, which is what they took, and 2 of someone else's. They weren't taking the 3 hard drives, which, of course, are electronic devices. They just mimic the computer. I said, well, don't you want these? And they said, what are they? I said, those are Hunter Biden's hard drives. And they said, no. I said, are you sure you don't want them? I mean, the warrant required them to take it. And they said, no.
They said, no. He said, the warrant says everything. I said, I'm reading this stuff. Everything I've got that might be pertaining to anything that you might want to know, you're supposed to take. And that's something you probably should have. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, talking about the raid on Giuliani's Manhattan apartment. He said, I'm delighted. I'm delighted they raided him. He said, what's disturbing to me, if there's probable cause to believe there's evidence of a crime at the Giuliani's business or home last year at Bill Barr's Justice Department, under Trump, he's saying, wouldn't do anything about it. It's another indication of politicization at the very top of the Justice Department. Can you believe Adam Schefflis would dare make a remark like that when he was overseeing all of the impeachment efforts against Trump using FBI documents, which they knew were a lie, and they were getting wiretaps under various lies, and he wants to tell us that here's another indication that the Justice Department has been politicized. Not that we did it, but this time we're actually looking for justice. He said, again, Adam Schefflis, Democrat, California, I'm delighted to see that under the new leadership of that department, decisions will once again be made equally under the law. Everyone will be treated the same under the law. No one will be given a pass. No one will be pursued for political reasons. I think Merrick Garland has exactly the right background for that approach. With that in mind, if they're really going to make sure no one is above the law, and Giuliani is saying, well, the subpoena says you want everything, you need to take the Hunter Biden stuff here, and the agents say, no, no, no. So if you're going to politicize such a raid, don't get anything. Don't get anything that could turn around and be used against us. So let's go back to the scene again. Giuliani, shortly after 6 a.m. that morning when the FBI agents are standing there, he's read the documents and said, okay, I'll get, well, you got all of these things, but what about these things? The Hunter drives, which you're right. You load everything you have on a computer on one of those little drives. Listen to what happened.
The warrant required them to take it. And they said, no. And I, one last time I said, don't you think you should take it? And they said, no. Now, Hunter Biden's hard drives fall within the scope of the subpoena. The subpoena required them to take all electronics, but they decided to leave that behind. And they also were completely content to rely on my word that these were Hunter Biden's hard drives. I mean, they could have been Donald Trump's. They could have been Vladimir Putin's. They could have been anybody's. But they relied on me, the man who had to be raided in the morning, because I'm going to destroy the evidence. I've known about this for 2 years.
He's right. Why wouldn't he be destroying the evidence? I mean, we've heard various reports that Hillary and her group knew how to destroy evidence. You can take a hammer to cell phones out on a parking lot, and they can pretty well be destroyed beyond repair. Of course, anything that got to the cloud, they might have trouble with. But here he is saying, your subpoena says everything electronic. Well, this electronic, you want it? No, no, no. Well, wait a minute. What is it? It has to do with the Hunter Biden laptop. No, no, we don't want that. Now, he is exactly right. Why? He probably should have said, you know, everything you took out of here, it's also all the Hunter Biden stuff. What were they going to do then, bring it all back in? They're going to accept his word? What a way out. Hey, I told them there was Hunter Biden thing, knowing they wouldn't take it. President Trump, I want you to know I protected that piece of evidence because all I had to do is say it's Hunter Biden. They said, no, we don't want that. And now we can destroy it. Of course, that's not what's happening. But that doesn't sound like very good law work, does it? I don't want to call these FBI agents out directly, but I'm going to have to. If there's evidence, if your subpoena says everything and this is something here, you're supposed to take it. You don't reject it when you're told by the person you're serving the subpoena on, well, it has to do, I don't know, like Hillary Clinton on some of the emails she canceled, like planning a wedding, yoga exercises, curtains for the room. Remember all those excuses? And again, Giuliani is accused of basically working with Ukraine, a Ukraine official, violating the Foreign Agent Registration Act, which is a violation. And on Tucker Carlson last night, he addressed that specific point.
I have never represented a Ukrainian national or official before the United States government. I've declined it several times. I've had contracts in countries like Ukraine. In the contract is a clause that says I will not engage in lobbying or foreign representation. I don't do it because I felt it would be too compromising.
I think it would be also. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden didn't think so. When Joe Biden at the time was vice president, I'll remind you of that. So he said, I didn't do anything, but, you know, and they won't take everything with it. He said, they were worried I was going to destroy anything that they took. Once again, Giuliani.
I could have destroyed the evidence. Years ago, I didn't destroy the evidence because the evidence is exculpatory. It proves that the president and I and all of us are innocent. They're the ones who are committing. It's like projection. They're committing the crimes.
That's exactly right. And as he said, for 2 years, I tried to get the government to take these. And here you have Adam Schiffless of California claiming that Bill Barr was covering things up. Well, Bill Barr didn't take that information then. And Rudy was trying to present everything. And the Adam Schiff information they wouldn't take. I want to go into this, not Adam Schiff, the Hunter Biden information they wouldn't take. We'll take a break when we come back. I want to go back over some details of that. And are you going to tell me the FBI, the Justice Department, is not interested in that? When I just heard from Adam Schiffless of California, the words are exactly, there will no longer be politics. It's going to not be politics anymore. No one will be given a pass unless you're Biden and Democrats. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we just spent a lot of time talking about Rudy Giuliani and the raid on his Manhattan apartment by FBI agents showing up at 6 in the morning because they think if we wake him up at 6 a.m., then we'll have a chance to grab stuff before he can destroy it. He said, no, I can read the subpoena. I'm an attorney. You're entitled to grab all it. And the subpoena also says you need to take this stuff. Well, what's that? Well, their hard drive and thumb drives or whatever of the Hunter Biden laptop. No, we don't want that. It says on your subpoena you're taking everything electronic. That's what this is. No, we don't want it. Now, the Hunter Biden story. Remember when the New York Post came out and talked about the energy company, Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, in addition to the laptop information? There was an alleged email that appeared on the laptop, according to the New York Post, from that energy company, thanking Biden Hunter for introducing the head of Burisma to his father, Vice President Joe Biden. And Joe Biden said, it's a smear campaign. Nothing ever happened. Well, there wasn't really an investigation. The Justice Department supposedly investigating Hunter Biden's finances, looking at some of his also past Chinese business dealings and others. There's a tax investigation launched in 2018. Hunter Biden said he didn't learn about it until December 2020. And then in an interview with CBS this last month, while he was promoting, or actually earlier this month, while Biden Hunter was promoting his new book, he said, I'm cooperating. I'm doing everything right. Well, according to the Post, one of the emails indicates that Biden Hunter was getting a $10 million annual fee from a Chinese billionaire just for introductions. And he points out in the email that 10 to be held by H for the big guy. And then there's a complaint from Hunter Biden at one point that, you know, Daddy's taking 10% of everything I do, or something, words to that effect. Remember Tony Bobulinski, who was in the midst of all that? He said, yeah, I was party to that when I know that Joe Biden was meeting with the Chinese reps for some business dealings. In 2013, it's documented Hunter Biden was on board Air Force Two with his father, then VP, flying into Beijing. Said he just met an investment banker for a cup of coffee. Do you really believe that? So all this stuff about Burisma and Hunter Biden even conceding, well, I got the job to serve on this Ukrainian private energy company, admittedly, because of my last name. He admitted that. We don't know all the details on Hunter Biden nor Joe Biden with Ukraine. There's never been a full investigation, and it ain't likely to happen now. But the very fact that the FBI and this raid at Giuliani's house the other day, the subpoena says we're here to take everything electronic. And he said, well, what about these? This is also under your subpoena. No, we don't want it. Because it involves Hunter Biden, we just don't want it. And we're supposedly playing all fair now, according to Adam Schefflus. Coming up, a disturbing story. I'm going to tell you right away. The government buying baby parts and aborted babies from Planned Parenthood. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on previously, not too long ago, Edie Heiple. She is with the Center for Renewing America. And at that time, she was giving us some details of how the Planned Parenthood and our government were working together when it came to aborting babies and basic prices for baby parts or whole babies. And at that time, it is maybe more medical, I should say, corporate research groups, but the FDA is also involved. Edie Heiple, glad to have you back on board.
Thanks for having me back on, Larry.
Now, I know that a lot of this deals with emails that uncovered by Judicial Watch's request for federal information, but again, involving the FDA, and I'm reading the article you wrote. This article appeared in the Federalist, and I know it appeared elsewhere. Where else could they find it?
Well, it's on the Federalist. It's online at our website, americarenewing.com. It's been republished a couple times, but yeah, it's out there.
Okay, I want to make sure they know where to get it, because, folks, I want to read just the opening line. In what should have been a national headline, the exposure of the U.S. government's involvement in trafficking aborted baby bodies is now even more newsworthy following Friday's announcement from the White House. At President Biden's direction, the Department of Health and Human Services reversed the Trump administration policy protecting preborn Americans from the callous dehumanization of organ harvesting and further desecration of their bodies in research disguised as science. Now, in the midst of all of those words, understand just the key point. Trump was not allowing that to happen. Biden, again, decides everything Trump did is wrong, and so now it's moving forward. And then some of these emails, I want to break some of this down, Edie. You point out, like, one of them, the FDA, and I can't stress this enough, this is the U.S. Food and Drug Administration paying money direct. How much were they paying per baby? Let's begin there. It's like going in and buying meat at a butcher shop.
Right. You know, amidst all these numbers, you can kind of break it down based on some of these pricing charts. We're told that about $2,000 per baby, yet they break it down by specific body parts. So, you know, I've included one of these charts here. January 2010, the going price for a brain was $325, but you could buy two eyeballs for $650. So some of these pricing charts are pretty horrific and explicit.
And where are these prices placed and why and how?
So these pricing charts come from ABR, the Advanced Bioscience Resources, fetal tissue procurement firm that the FDA was working with to buy these babies.
So in a way, the FDA could say, well, we didn't really do it, but they did agree to pay Advanced Bioscience Resources, ABR, to procure them, and then they were paying ABR for it. In other words, our hands aren't directly involved. Liar, liar, liar. Go ahead.
No, that's exactly what's going on here. I mean, in the email traffic, they're agreeing to upfront prepay $12,000 per box of tissue, which included anything from, you know, livers to the skin of some of these children.
Oh, and of course, they also say in shipping fees, too. You know, unless you're on Amazon Prime, they're going to pay a shipping fee. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You also point out another one that as you said, tissues and babies in part, but I'm looking at one of them dealing with organs like livers, brains, as you said, eyeballs, and what they were being charged for that. Now, a Senate Judiciary Committee investigation actually came up with some of this as well, but what happened after they got the info?
That's a great question. I mean, this Judiciary Committee report came out in 2016, but as far as I know, there might have been a bit of news around it at the time, but that kind of went on the road to nowhere. I mean, the details and what they uncovered in this report are shocking. But I brought it up again to just resurface. This has been out there for a while, and the recent emails released this past month just add to what's already been going on.
And your line is kind of paraphrasing what I was saying earlier. They were piecing together how much a baby costs by body parts as if each child was a slaughtered animal sold in sections.
Exactly. I mean, I find that language fitting here because that's essentially what's happening. The callousness is just on display here. I don't know quite else what to add other than it's their right for people to read.
Well, again, you're listening to Edie Heiple, and she is with the Center for Renewing America, and we're talking about information uncovered in emails on behalf of a FOIA request by Judicial Watch. And again, some of that information got to Senate Judiciary Committee and then went apparently nowhere. You've got a piece in here also. You're talking about how the FDA purchases were calculated according to ABRs, and again, that's the Advanced Bioscience Resource Group, fees for services schedule, which was provided anyone that wanted to buy something. For instance, they were also selling the skin from a 20-week-old Down syndrome baby. The skin! Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. This is what shocked me the most, I think. What honestly broke my heart was uncovering this pricing chart for the body of a 21-week-old baby with Down syndrome. I mean, we know, based on what we know about fetal development, that this child could have survived outside of the womb. This was a fully formed baby. A child with Down syndrome. I mean, speaking as a family member of a cousin who has Down syndrome and many friends who have Down syndrome, this just broke my heart, and I needed to put it in the article.
And I know, you know, and I do understand in – there are cases where women are making a decision to have an abortion and they later regret it, or, you know, that's not an easy decision for them. But the laws have been changed and made it so easy now that in Virginia and some other places, they can almost decide at the moment the child's being born, I don't want it. I can't afford to pay for my Netflix and a baby. I mean, that callous and that indifferent. So there are cases like that. And then you have some, you know, that they are making a decision on a genetic basis as if God made a mistake. And we all have our opinion on that. You point out also, by the way, the FDA wanted, and your phrase is, fresh babies. What do they mean, fresh babies?
Well, they outline here in some of their emails to ABR employees of the characteristics they're looking for in tissue. As you mentioned, they said they wanted fresh, never frozen tissue, which I assume this means that they're taking tissue right away, right after the abortion, so that they can be used in research immediately. So not frozen tissue, because that would make it hard to research on. And then they go on to say they want it harvested from babies 16 to 24 weeks old, late-term abortions, that's what we're talking about here, and then free of known chromosomal abnormalities.
In other words, a baby that would be perfect if allowed to be born, but
right.
The mother decided, I don't want it, it's aborted, and that child at that age, as you said, could survive if they just go ahead and carry it to term.
Right. I mean, just this last week, I came across an account on Twitter of 21-week-old babies who survive outside of the womb. These are premature children born at 21 weeks, as early as 21 weeks. That's the earliest we have on record. Pretty amazing that science has brought us this far. We have the capacity for these children to survive outside of the womb. I mean,
well, I have several issues there just on that point, because they always say believe the science when it comes to climate science. Anything else that they want to peddle is science, have to wear a mask, that kind of stuff. But I keep saying every time you tell me that, then I want to know how you explain your science that if there's a heartbeat of whatever's inside the womb, that that's not alive and it's not a baby. What do you think it is?
Right. I mean, the left is the abortion side. Science is not on their side, and some of the stuff that they're pushing here, I mean, I don't think they believe what they're saying.
I agree fully. And, of course, I've always had the attitude, too, and I know women, some, will say, it's my body, my right to choose. And I say, well, okay. Now, if your mother had made that decision, you wouldn't be here to discuss it with me anyway. So I guess the argument's over. You have also pointed out here that the FDA was requesting organs from baby boys to use in, quote, very important and challenging surgeries. Can you explain that?
Right. So some of the email traffic we have on record, these FDA employees specifically ask for organs from baby boys. Why they make that ask is I'm unaware of the reason here, but they're looking for baby boys in specific to conduct research for the purpose of humanizing mice.
Humanizing mice. I'm sorry, is that what you said?
Yes.
They're going to take a baby boy and use parts of it to turn a mouse into a human-like product or what? That's, again, so far beyond even understanding.
Right. A lot of the science is far above me, but from my understanding, they're wanting to, you know, create humanized versions of mice with human immune systems. And, you know, I guess your imagination can run wild, but I'm not exactly sure.
I can see, you know, that you're doing some for research to find drugs that would save kids in the future. But I appreciate you joining us again today and giving us more details. And I told the audience in the beginning it was not going to be an easy conversation, but I do appreciate you sharing. Thank you, Edie.
Thanks for having me on.
You did. We'll do it again. Edie Heifel, Center for Renewing America. If you know friends that didn't hear this program, we're going to have it as a podcast later. You make sure they listen. Coming up, pulling out of Afghanistan, what's that mean? A whole new drug operation.
is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are, of course, trying to pull our troops out of areas where we're saying we're not going to be able to accomplish anymore. The local forces are going to have to take over. And unfortunately, the decision comes after we've lost Americans in those fields of war. In fact, I was talking to a young man yesterday who said he'd been in Afghanistan on assignment. His job was looking for IEDs and digging them up. He said he lost a good buddy. If you ever saw the movie Hurt Locker, it kind of gives you some idea what they were going through. So if we began to pull our troops out, which is a good deal, you know, and we need to take the attitude that as tough as it is, we feel for the women in those countries that are abused and also the religions that are persecuted. In some cases, we're just going to say we cannot be the world's policeman. But every time we move out, the vacuum is filled. We know that because when Obama had moved troops out a little earlier than some thought he should, well, ISIS was born. And there's going to be Taliban coming back. We know that. It's a foregone conclusion. But here's something else. Law enforcement agencies are now worried about what's going to happen because we're going to see Afghanistan, long known for its opium poppies, now also going to be increasing that business because it'll be fueled by methamphetamines. The opium prices will begin to drop. That it was a crackdown in Iran that drove many Afghan meth cooks to return home. Then they began to realize how they can grow and extract from another plant that grows in the central highlands to come up with meth. So drugs are a huge source of income for the Taliban, something like more than $200 million a year. We spent $9 billion, trying to shut down that Afghan drug trade and to no avail. The opium production still up, more money flowing into the Taliban and other terrorists. Much of the poppy fields controlled by tribal warlords that had, in some cases, been allied with the U.S. And the Taliban now, realizing could sell heroin more again. Afghanistan producing 90% of the world's supply for that. In other words, we're going to see a major influence on various drugs and in particular meth because the plant they're developing and growing and finding in some of the upper highlands comes up with something called ephedra that they say is a golden ticket for meth cooks returning from Iran that they can cut their production cost in half by using that plant instead of trying to smuggle in cough syrup into Afghanistan from Iran and Pakistan. And already hundreds of meth labs reportedly popping up across that country. They're operating in civilian areas that make it impossible to target with any military operations because you'd have collateral damage. And poor Afghan households, I mean, if they can make a lot of money, they don't make anything. If they can do that, they're going to do it to feed their family. I'm looking at some of the reports coming out. The Indonesian officials just reported yesterday that they seized 2.5 tons of crystal meth from Afghanistan. They got shipped through Malaysia. And they had raids in three other cities that pulled in drugs worth $82 million. That is just a drop in the proverbial bucket. It means nothing. And now with these labs not being watched over at all, they're going to continue to pop more, and you know where those drugs are going to be headed before it's over with. Our opiate problem in this country is already bad. You can now expect that it's going to get considerably worse. More people will be hooked on it one way or the other. And again, keep in mind that a lot of that money will be going into not just cartels in Mexico, but into terrorist operations. And usually the terrorist operations are targeting, people that might have something to do with America, be U.S. citizens. And Once that money reaches a point where they could just throw it around, like you might drop pennies out of your pocket, terrorism will increase dramatically. At the same time, we have this administration allowing who knows who to come across our border to the south. We have already documented numerous cases. One, drugs coming across, and two, Mideastern. Not folks from Central America, the Northern Triangle, or even Venezuela, but from the Middle East. If they can get to Mexico, they know they can walk across the border and come into our country and very unlikely to be caught or sent back. We don't need any border security? Really? I say anyone who has that theory, well, you tell me you're opening up your house and you'll take any illegal we send you. Then I'll think, okay, you must really be a nice, humane person. Coming up in the next hour, Senator Tim Scott, the one they were calling Uncle Tim, and the liberals and Biden said nothing. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.